Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Takes a deep breath and deals. Crow Armstrong swings, and it's a high fly ball deep down the right field line. This one is gone! Grand slam home run! Pete Crow Armstrong! Cubs take the lead! 8-6 over the Reds here in the seventh.
You know, we'd love to sign him long term. Obviously, those conversations in season are delicate, and it's, you know, something that I'm sure at some point we will revisit. But right now, we're just letting him focus on the season.
All right, I got a lot of questions here. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Rami Makhlouf in for Marshall Harris.
Hello.
We are singing the seventh inning stretch tonight at Wrigley. By the way, wish us luck. Yeah, that'll be.
Not going to lie, a little jealous.
Bring your earplugs.
A little jealous.
So that was probably my favorite moment from Memorial Day weekend, the PCA Grand Slam. We want to know what yours is in our next segment, 312-644-6767. You can text. You can leave a voice message on the meatball machine. You can call if you're bored. We want to hear from you. But in this segment, that was Jed Hoyer on the morning show. And that was last week, right? It was last week. Feels like forever ago on a holiday weekend. Jed, who is still in the last year of his contract. Jed talking about PCA and the concept of extending him, which we have also discussed. Then there's the piece of Kyle Tucker, who we bring up before. And I know that this is a topic that we will revisit until we have answers. It's going to be one of those constant discussions. But you brought up the question, out of those three, who's the most crucial extension? What did you say about it? Because I know you talked about it yesterday, but for this audience, it's good to bring up.
PCA, I'm from either side, I'm not in a huge rush to get him signed to an extent. If you're the Cubs, you probably get a discount on what you would have to pay him if he got to the end of the rookie phase of his career. So, but outside of that, I'm not in a huge, and if I'm PCA, I'm really not in a huge rush because my price goes up every single day. To quote Pusha T, yesterday's price is
not today's price
for PCA, and tomorrow's price won't be today's price if he keeps doing what he's doing. So from either side, I don't feel like there should be a lot of urgency to get him signed. Whenever you do, great, and we'll all be happy about it. Kyle Tucker, they have to re-sign or win a World Series this year, or they lost that trade.
Yep.
So there is a level of urgency there. But man, when you're talking about Jed Hoyer and where he's gotten this team in the 3-4 years that he's had control and since he took over for Theo as president of baseball operations, and I know, and we talked about it last segment, we weren't thrilled with the way last season. I think 2 years ago, we were all like, okay, 83 wins. It's a step in the right direction. This thing is moving it forward at least. And let's see what they do to sort of to get it over the hump. Last year, I felt like it was either a step back or at least like a little stagnant from and it was the exact same record. So a little stagnancy there. But big picture, to be where they are now, to be in first place, number one offense in the league, and you look at some of the young pieces that they have along with acquisitions like Kyle Tucker and Seiya Suzuki that from outside the organization, this plan is coming together the way you'd think a plan should come together in about 3 years. And that's with the restrictions of the Ricketts sort of tightening the purse strings
a
little bit.
The intelligent spending.
Exactly. So to me, the guy who sort of has put this whole thing together, the mastermind of this whole thing, probably the most important to keep locked in and keep this thing moving in the right direction, if nothing else, for the sake of consistency. And the guy who already started this plan, sort of seeing it through to the end, which hopefully is them holding up a World Series trophy again at some point.
If you lose Jed Hoyer at this point, you've lost the plot.
Yeah.
You've lost the plot because I think he's the one who brought in Carter Hawkins for a reason. He wanted that institutional knowledge as well from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. We just talked about how we're seeing pitchers come online in ways that are remarkably different than maybe even what we knew about them previously in their careers.
Yep.
Some of that is luck. Sure. Let's all admit that. But it's also knowing when to use the luck. You know, there is an art to that as well. He's the one who brought in Craig Counsell. And you talk about last season and all of this, and I compare last season to being disappointed because the Cubs communicated what their standard was going to be. They're mm-hmm. the ones who fired David Ross at the end of the season where they arguably should have made the playoffs. You consider that slide from the beginning of September 2023 after they beat the Giants and how they remarkably missed the playoffs that last month of the season. So you knew what the standard was going to be. Then they come back and they win 83 games again.
83.
And you knew roster-wise they didn't have enough. So Jed Hoyer does the spendy trade. It is expensive. I know it's expensive to get the star. I know it's expensive to get the established major league talent. But it's different when it's the team you're observing doing it because it just feels that much more pricey.
Right, yeah.
It's that much more of a big swing.
Because you know the prospects. Like, I don't
Cam
know.
Cam Smith, you think I'm not going to watch him
exactly.
every single season to see how he becomes a major leaguer?
Yeah.
And you forget about these type of moments. You forget about what you're seeing right now with this lineup. And I will ask him at some point, but I feel like, because Jed is one of like two people who gets my humor, but I think I'm like, is your approach in all of this basically this could be us but you're playing? Because that's what I feel like he's doing, is he's like, hey, this is my last season and you guys want to spend intelligently, but doesn't this feel nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would probably do the same thing if I had the histones, so to speak.
Right, right.
I don't know, you know, I don't know that I would be as risk-taking as he has been given the previous body of work.
Mm-hmm.
So he still, to me, is the most important part of all of this.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
And you have to give him enough resources to make sure that that happens in a way that makes it make sense.
When I was talking about this yesterday, somebody texted in and said, first you get Kyle Tucker extended, and if Jed Hoyer can do that, then you extend Jed Hoyer, almost like Jed Hoyer's job relies on keeping Kyle Tucker. And I get that to some extent because that was the big move this offseason. And as we talked about, it's kind of what has propelled this thing to some degree. But even if you can't keep Kyle Tucker, I want the guy who traded for Kyle Tucker and put all these pieces around him to be the guy to figure out how you rebound from that, how you fill that hole that Kyle Tucker may leave if he walks this year in free agency. I think as much as I want them to re-sign Kyle Tucker, and like I said, to me it's almost a must. You lost that trade unless you win a World Series this year or sign him to some kind of extension. Even if you can't, A, I don't put that on Jed Hoyer because I think he'd open up, it's not his money, he'd open up the pocketbook for Kyle Tucker if he could, but he has whatever resources the Ricketts allow him. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to put it on him necessarily if they can't keep him. And if they can't, he's the guy I want figuring out, okay, where do we go now? What's the next move with the resources that we do have?
224, I appreciate the passion, the fire and the passion of this text. No effing way is Jed Hoyer more important to re-sign than Kyle Tucker. That is a terrible take. I agree he should be back, but he doesn't play baseball. There is no argument that he is more important to retain one of the top five players in baseball. He got him here. And I think the issue is, there are times where you and I, Rami, have read articles that say so-and-so, whatever GM is in there, whatever influential person, Theo, for example, convinced the Red Sox management, I know Alex Bregman is hurt right now, but he convinced them to spend. You have to have somebody like that.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody who says to management and to ownership, especially when ownership doesn't necessarily want to spend, this is why you should do this, and here is why. And I feel like Jed Hoyer has earned that with this Cubs ownership. I don't necessarily know that Carter Hawkins by himself or name other GM who's available right now in the bigs. Craig Breslow would have been that person potentially. He is now with the Red Sox. You know, so I don't necessarily know that it gets done in another way. Like, it's not like, and I'm not saying that Tom Ricketts isn't open to discussion, but the importance of an executive who can prove to you that the spending works
who can
in
sell
this
you on it.
Baseball climate is absolutely key.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of the job. You know what? Every GM, every president of operations throughout the world of sports wants all the money in the world to work with. You know what I mean?
But my job would be a lot easier if I could write a check to everybody.
Exactly. So, but there's going to be a budget, and part of their job is trying to convince their boss to increase the budget a little bit more, to open the wallet a little bit more. If the right opportunity should strike for the right player at the right price, you know, and so I do think that's a big aspect of those guys' jobs. It's not just convincing the players, hey, come here for the amount of money that we want to pay you. It's convincing ownership, hey, we should pay that guy that amount of money to for X, Y, and Z reasons.
I also think that, let's be realistic about Kyle Tucker, who got traded here from the organization that he had known, where he had spent all of his career, a wildly successful one that got to seven straight ALCSs. That guy knows what the playoffs are all about.
Yep.
So he's earning his keep. He's going to test the market.
Which, like, he should. Yeah.
Right. Like, he's earned it. He's earned that opportunity. He now knows what it's like to play in another place. I swear to you, it gets warmer, Kyle Tucker. They tell me it gets warmer outside. I am waiting to see it.
We do have summer here. We do have summer in Chicago.
What?
It's just, I don't know what about this weekend just drove me batty.
It's Memorial Day weekend. This is supposed to be the weekend that we get out and we're like, yeah,
and
summer.
I have so much fun with my friends. Like, the Astros were in town, and one of my friends is the Astros sideline reporter, and she, like, loves 100-degree weather. She's in the right place for her. And she's like, why am I wearing a coat in May? And I was like, oh, it's always Memorial Day. You know, Memorial Day is when it gets warmer. Like, just trust me on that. I've been here for 10 years. Wrong. Nature was like, no, Layla, that is not going to be the case. I award you no points. May God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, make no assumptions about the weather in Chicago at any time of year.
Not okay, Bob from the 815. It might have been nice where you were, but in the city proper, it was not. It was cold, it was windy, and I was angry about it. That's pretty
much
the name of that.
You're still angry about
it. I am still angry about it.
You said you were angry. No, you are angry about it.
Yeah, I'm just going to warn you guys. There's going to be a day where it's really nice outside, and I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be a lizard. I'm going to be a lizard sitting on a rock, soaking up sun, lifting my chin into the air.
Now, when you make the call that you're not going to be here that day, is it going to be just the weather is too nice, I won't be at work today, or do you...
I don't know how I'm going to craft
it. Okay, all right.
I'm just going to be like, I'm not here today.
Okay.
And you will find me outside, and I will be literally sitting outside sunning myself, trying to get the life force back from what this weekend took from me.
And I encourage you to do that.
It's the 10-month season. That's what drives me batty. That's when I cross the line at the 10-month winter.
I don't even really like
summer. The 9-month winter, okay, you can kind of convince me. But when it's 10, We got beef.
I don't even really like summer. I don't like warm weather, but this is ridiculous.
For God's sakes, we had a haboob. We had an actual sandstorm, and we can't get like just a 70 degree day on Memorial Day weekend.
Haboob. I like that.
I'm into the bargaining of things I cannot control. Weather and the Cubs roster in front office. Like, I'm here to try to make sense out of all of it.
Would you trade the success that the Cubs are having right now for some warm weather, Layla Rahimi?
No.
Okay.
No. I wouldn't either.
No. Yeah. Robbie, immediately. No.
No.
No. Okay. I guess I'll just wear a coat for infinity until this. supposedly nice later this week, right? That's what the weather app
70s,
says right now.
70s.
And then it's going to be like, psych, never mind, 50.
There's one of our five on it questions for later. Would you embrace global warming for a World Series?
Climate change.
I'd think about it.
Listen, I've been on both sides of this, okay? Neither one are good. All right. And being in constant fear of a hurricane is also not fun. Neither is being in constant fear of a tornado. All of the options suck. I want to warn you.
I'm just going to spray aerosol cans into the air.
That's a bad take.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris are going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I believe they are in our booth. They're going to sing from our booth, I think.
They're in the house. Yeah, I'm getting out of the way. Yeah. I don't want to interfere with the singing of this thing now.
The interfering of the singing. I didn't hear that because we were waiting for the world's longest seventh inning to end. This is Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Brody. We are live from Brickhouse Tavern today. Ian Happ joins us at noon. And yes, the reason we were here last night was because we got invited to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and it was a very cool experience. We were greeted by Joe Rios and the Cubs and got customized jerseys. That was really cool.
Yeah, the customized jerseys I was not ready for, but I gladly accept it. I'll frame that up, get that ready to go. I think the entire experience is just understanding that you're here for a purpose, not just to enjoy the ball game, but you have a functional purpose. That kind of overrides everything when you're thinking about, hey, we're going to the Cubs game tonight, but we got to get something done, and we got to not screw it up,
That's it. The goal is to not screw it up, and I'm here to tell both of you, you did not screw it up. I'm very proud of you
guys. The key was really low. Like, I didn't have enough bass to hit the low D. I should have just just sung on a higher octave, but I did, like, for a little bit, but this is not choir practice, you know? You're just trying to get from point A to B. Yeah.
Trying to entertain the crowd. You got 40,000 people you got to shout
well,
to.
Well, it was cool because I didn't know you would get to actually talk to the organist beforehand, and then you tell him, like, what key you want it to be in, and I let Layla handle all that.
Oh, whoa. Do you guys get high maintenance on the organ
player?
What happened
there? No, we practiced we wanted to start on a few times. That was something that we talked about before.
Yeah.
So I just relayed what we had discussed to the guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, so what note did we start on?
D, it was a key
situation?
Yeah, it was key of low D.
Okay.
So, like, that was the issue, is I don't have that kind of bass.
Low D, okay. And then
but you don't want to... The biggest mistake that you have in the Star Spangled Banner is that people start it too high. And then you end up in the, I'll make up for it now realm. So you don't want that to happen where you're botching the Star Spangled Banner like Carl Lewis did.
You heard in the open, Brody, how you got all this advice
from
people.
Uh-oh, I'll make up for it now.
I think the most important advice, or not, was definitely from Nico Horner. He's like, just lean into it. Like, what do you... Like, don't take it too seriously. You're here to have fun. Everybody in the stands, they're already having fun. And just add to it.
So the experience, we get to the Cubs offices, and we are greeted with these really cool jerseys from Joe and the crew. We got to bring our crew. Mark, you were there.
I was.
Robbie was there. Ray was there. So we got to roll deep, and we then got to check out the W Club, which I had never been to. Food was awesome.
Definitely a W.
Yeah, I stayed away from the alcohol because that's the last thing I need when I have trouble talking as it is. I'm not going to sing on that. So the point is, it was a great bar, great atmosphere. That place was packed. The food was fun. You know, we were all there hanging out.
Do you remember when we walked out? I don't remember who it was that said it, so I don't want to point fingers. But as we got out of the W Club, we're, again, very generous, a wonderful buffet of food. Great to see, you know, they rolled the cart, dessert tray, the whole thing, drinks. And we got out there, and one of the people that we were with said, should we go back in there and grab some more stuff? Should we get some more dessert or something?
I was the one who said water.
I said, yeah. We need water because it's a hike to get back here. So let's just grab the water.
No, but there was somebody who said, like, should we be taking advantage of the cheesecake situation? Or perhaps the drinks, something like that. Because while we have it, we may as well use it. Right?
One of my friends is like, I'm going to get a cookie to go.
Maybe
and
that was it.
I think
she
got a brownie. Yeah, and then I obviously got I got a cookie to go, which was great. So that was...
Good move. Smart move.
We all loaded up because we were on the other side of the ballpark from the W Club, which is fine. Yeah. We had incredible seats.
Yeah, like, seats were great.
When you're behind home plate like that, to be able to see what a pitcher is throwing... Mm. That just changes the game. A lot of times when I was sideline reporting or whatever, you're in the well. So you're on a baseline, so you can't always see what's coming out of somebody's hand like that. Those seats were incredible. And then we had a bunch of friends who came to support, which was really fun. There were tickets that were available for people, but the crowd, as we said, was just massive. So then you're trying to watch the game, knowing what's coming, that we're going to get picked up in the fifth to get brought upstairs.
Yeah, we get the text, hey, I'm on my way to come get you guys to take you up to do the seventh inning stretch. And I say, and the text comes to me, I say, Layla, it's about that time. She says she's on her way. And from then on, it's like we're going to proceed up an elevator and then up steps and then into the booth. And it was. Listen, I had so much fun last night. I know not everybody was imbibing. I had a singular birthday celebration drink.
That's it?
With my boy Ray Diaz.
Okay.
And we're just hanging out, man. Having a good time.
Oh, such a good time.
It is weird, though, because we were told to enjoy it. But really, you're just, I'm of the mindset of trying to just get it done
right.
properly.
You can't relax until you do it right.
This
right.
is our job, is to exist on camera, is to exist over the air. And in these cases, you know, that's our job, is to get you from point A to B, to focus on the logistics. Like, we've got abilities that will happen in the meantime. But you don't get to soak it up like you want to, because we're too busy just trying to make sure we're doing the things right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that part of it, too. We talked about that. Like, we did want to wish Pat Hughes a happy birthday.
That was my thing from jump.
Oh, that wasn't Pat. Pat didn't say, you might want to go ahead and shout out my birthday.
No. They actually told us when we got there, they were like, Pat doesn't want anyone talking about his birthday. I was like, well, he's not really going to have a choice, because I'm going to have a mic and I'm going to say happy birthday
to Pat.
What
did I tell you, Marshall? Don't ever talk about my birthday on the air again.
Yeah. No, but did you see his face?
He was smiling
exactly.
the entire time watching you guys sing.
And so they zoom in on him at the start, which, like, that's, and then you
No,
get the,
it was a great touch.
It got the crowd even more involved, because Pat Hughes, like, come on, that's royalty.
Yeah. Did you think about shouting him out? Happy
no,
birthday.
No.
I
no,
shouted
no.
out Marshall.
And I know that you wouldn't want it.
Yeah,
you would
I definitely
not want it.
Don't.
I shouted
different.
Out Marshall's birthday on our show.
Yes. Okay.
My biggest fear was that organ note would be holding for a long time, like, while everybody, you don't want to have a speech, and I'm like, and extend Kyle Tucker. You know, you just start yelling out your sports thoughts, you know, and while
that
you
would have been
this
phenomenal
microphone.
If you had just said extend Kyle Tucker.
Raise in the
again,
background. What about PCA? Huh?
Or we were joking in the stands after we got back about just yelling mustard. But then we realized there was a bunch of people in the crowd who would probably understand that reference, which would have been amazing. But
I was amazed
not
at how many young people
place.
Were in the crowd. I was amazed at that many young people. But I was like, I guess school's out, so people are just out here.
School's out
kids?
For
school's not out.
Quote summer.
Some schools. I had 2 9-year-olds and a 10-year-old in front of me.
That was awesome.
They were done with school. They said.
Yeah, they were done with school.
Taking
they said
pictures
May 23rd
with Marshall.
Was last day. Yeah,
this guy was adorable with these kids. This guy right here.
Trick love the kids. That's, yeah. I'm on the record.
Trick love the kids.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Like, these kids were. Oh, you're the guy that sang the seventh inning stretch, and he's signing their balls and taking pictures with them. These kids were like starstruck by Marshall Harris. And I was just sitting back watching, just smiling. I'm like, look at this guy.
Brody
working
is,
with the kids.
Is slightly exaggerating.
No, but not much. Not much. They were very entertained by you, and they wanted to know. And you were engaging them as well, which is cool,
yeah,
which
man.
I love to see.
The children are our future.
Right. I was dealing with the 20-year-olds behind me who were going
they're,
off
they're,
on the
They're also our
okay.
future, Grody. They're also our future.
They are. No, no. So,
future score callers.
Oh, no.
Meatball machine, you know, recorders.
Oh, yeah. I love, like, that we've got the younger people. Like, you know, we can only imagine that those kids were, as Bob Tree and I were talking about, probably listen to Saturday Suckage, those children, I would imagine. But they love you guys. They love the midday show. The people behind us obviously love the score as well. So it's cool to know that the demographic that we're getting, that we got the kids. So that's good. And I see lots of kids out here today too. Look at all these young people out here.
It's such an out of body experience.
Yes.
Like that was the thing about it. It was one of those things that you never think is going to happen in your life, and then it happens.
Yeah.
I guess we should play it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should probably
We have, this is an auditory business, so do that.
If there's one thing that I don't enjoy, it is when you get paid to talk, and then now you have to listen to yourself sing.
Oh.
So let's do it. Let's if you missed it, this was our seventh inning stretch
last
night.
Bears.
The game is tied. It's time for the seventh inning stretch, featuring the Midday Show score hosts, Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris, to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris.
First things first, a happy birthday to the legendary Hall of Famer, Pat Hughes.
Strikes are high.
Yeah, I didn't have enough bass to fill out that Cubs. The low notes there. Yeah. Oh, I just I don't have it. That's not me.
It's okay. You sounded phenomenal.
It was a good. It was a really good time.
I was happy to spend time. Could you imagine when you met me? I don't even know how many years ago that we'd be singing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field.
2014? No, I would have put at least $1. You know, the dollar in my notebook that I got from you for Crosstown. Yeah. I would have at least bet that, and now it would be worth 50 cents.
That's facts.
So yeah, it was an incredible experience. Like, how do you put it into words? You don't. You just don't. It's one of those things that I. You never dream you're even going to do to begin with.
I will never forget it. If it's not the most memorable birthday I've ever had, it's definitely the most iconic.
But then you guys threw the hats into the crowd. How did that feel?
Yeah, they made us sign hats. And
fire them.
That's why
you fired it. You look like you wanted to hit somebody. You're like, fire it right.
Yeah, yours kind of went like.
Yeah.
Down it like is
I don't know, I just threw it like, and you know, obviously I'm standing next to you and in between Pat, and I probably should have stood in front of you because
yeah, you're smaller, you
just, right, and yeah. I didn't think about where the camera was, I just stood in a place that I fit, but yeah, they said to throw it, so I did, but I'm laughing because I'm like, this is worth more to people if I didn't sign it. Like, no, nobody needs that.
I don't think
that.
That's true. You're Layla Rahimi.
Are you kidding? You guys came back to the seats. The again, the tough crowd right behind us was like, you guys did good. You guys were fine. Nice job. Nice work out there.
I think fine
there.
Is probably better.
So the section really appreciated what you guys were doing.
We tried to represent them.
In our great seat. By the way, like, I got to tell you.
And extend Kyle Tucker. Yeah. Like, I
should have said it.
We should have just gotten all of our sports thoughts out there that we don't have.
I don't need to get all of them out there. I think the one would have we would be hallowed to another level if we had yelled out.
Shout out to Bears OTAs. It's
you know
happening.
What I think of? I think of Seinfeld where George's dad is like, how could you give $5 million to Hideki Arabu? That's always what I think of.
Hideki Arabu.
That's always what I think of in moments like that. Like if you had one thing to say on the microphone like that in front of people, like what would it be? The declarative sports statement.
I think that would have been our chance.
How could you get $5 million to Hideki Arabu?
Arabu!
That's hilarious, actually. Because it was a movement, a moment, as was last night. And you know what? Maybe they will extend Kyle Tucker.
I do think it's because we're talking about it now. Like, here's the scenario. Seeing the seventh inning stretch, whatever. You know that you're probably doing it only once in your life. It's Pat Hughes' birthday. It's Marshall's birthday. You're like, oh, and another thing. Just yell it really quick and then fast forward to the press conference. And Jed Hoyer's like, well, if it wasn't for Marshall and Lele yelling, extend Kyle Tucker singing the seventh inning stretch where they ruined their opportunity, I would have never thought about it.
Wow.
Never again. Never again.
I think Jed Hoyer would have appreciated us saying that.
I think Jed Hoyer appreciates more humor than we give him credit for. I've always been a believer of that. My favorite was when he was trolling us on his phone. In his comfy and cozy office up here at the Cubs offices, laughing at Dan and me while we were freezing sitting at Gallagher Way for the home opener a couple of years ago. I was like, I could see you, Jed.
That's terrible.
Well, I mean, he wasn't doing it mockingly. He was just like, yeah, I see you guys right now. Then I see like this shadowy figure up in one of the offices. And I'm like, oh, there you are in your heat, in your climate controlled environment.
Why were you guys outside?
Because it was the thing to do. You got to go outside.
Man,
for
I'm glad
opener.
We're inside. Everybody glad we're inside today?
Yeah.
I know. It is raining quite a bit. So
shout out to the indoors.
Yeah. If you like climate control, make some noise. I did want to say make some noise, too.
Shout out to the inside.
We will talk more about our experience and also include Ray and Robbie. Robbie got some TV time, but unfortunately his head was cut off. So we'll ask him about that, too, next. It is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody live from Brick House Tavern with a great crowd. Brought to you by Verizon. That's next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
There's a certain way that the play needs to get communicated in the huddle. There's a certain way that the break should sound to us around us that means that we're ready for business and we're ready to get going. And if it doesn't sound that way, then we're just not going to allow the practice to go south. Fatigue is something that we're going to combat. The longer practice goes, the more fatigue guys get. And the mental toughness has to come through of still doing the little things correctly. So that's a part of it.
We have more coming up with Herb Howard in this segment, Herb of the Bigs Media. That was Ben Johnson yesterday talking at Alice Hall after the Bears OTAs. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And even in that little segment of what Ben Johnson said, when he talked about we're not going to let the practice go south, I don't think that Matt Eberflus was guilty of this. And I don't think the Bears were last season. But how many times have you heard coaches be like, we had a great week of practice? We had a great week of practice.
It's become cliche, right?
Absolutely.
And it's especially like, as a sideline reporter, I think it is a necessary job. You can make yourself useful. And there are so many times where sideline reporters are saying, oh, yeah, so-and-so said they had a great week of practice. It's almost like the opposite is true. Like, when they want to go out of their way to tell you they had a great week of practice, maybe it's because they didn't.
In my time on the Bears beat, I've never known them to not have a great week of practice.
Or incredible.
Never known them to not have a great week of practice. I made that joke standing on the sideline yesterday at practice because it's just, they say it all the time. It's like, wait, you've never had a bad week of practice? Like, if you play football before at any level, you're like, we didn't really bring it this week. And then you go into the game, and maybe you win, maybe you don't, but you're like, we weren't really sharp this week. Guys were kind of lethargic. Like, it was. But the Bears, no, never.
That's any sport. If you played organized sports, you know what a good practice is and what a bad practice is. Just like you know what a good game and a bad game is. The only difference is the good game, bad game. There's actual numbers up there to tell you how bad or how good it was.
Well, that's what made Kerry Wood so funny, because the first thing Kerry Wood always says every time the anniversary comes up of his 21 strikeout game is he's like, I had a terrible bullpen.
Yep.
He was always the first one to say that about that. About that game and how he made history, and then he's like, well, let me tell you about what happened to begin with. It was terrible.
Well, the electricity might have been off then, but the power went up once he got on the mound for real.
That kid was untouchable, man.
Remember, like, watching in my college dorm like it was yesterday.
For real.
Yeah, the 20, I mean, 20 batters is just unfathomable, and when you consider that he will also up the ante by saying how bad he was beforehand,
yeah,
it's like, did you get mad at yourself? Is that how you got to that point?
You know what was great about the Kerry Wood thing? It was like a lot of sports can be, when you're watching something, it becomes addictive. Like when a player goes on like an individual run in a basketball game, and you're like, I can't walk away from what I'm looking at.
Not for one second.
Not for one second. I need to see what happens next.
Yeah, you have to. And I felt that way about that whole time. Like, I thought that, you know, Kid K and Mark Pryor and Big Z would dominate the top of that rotation for a decade. I was like, this is going to be so fun for so long. And then elbows just aren't made to do what their elbows do.
But that's also why you have to really, really appreciate what you see from anybody, any team in the moment. Because ain't nothing destined to last forever. And it's not destined to last till tomorrow.
It's really, really not. You assume that it is. You assume the 85 Bears are going to win three or four. You assume that the 16 Cubs would win three or four. And it's like,
But I can understand why that happens in this city, because Michael Jordan exists.
Yep.
Scottie Pippen exists.
Yep.
That was the standard.
That was the standard.
And, and it wasn't just the standard for three, which would have been incredible. It was the standard for six, which makes it unfathomable.
Yeah.
Like, take a little break.
And even with the Hawks winning three the way they did, you know, that puts it into perspective. It's funny because we had the conversation earlier, Herb, about how I was thinking, if I'm watching the Bulls, and the Bulls did what the Timberwolves just did.
Oh, man.
And they went to back-to-back conference finals.
Oh, well.
Wouldn't you consider that a success? Like, you would kill for that.
Yeah, I mean, look how finally we look back on the couple of healthy Derrick Rose years, right? Just that team in general, and Joakim and all those guys, and how competitive they were. And they could beat LeBron and the Cavs, or LeBron and the Heat. It's like, they didn't really, but we still think finally of that era, however brief it was.
I'll say this. On that, if the Wolves were the Bulls.
Sure.
And they made it to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. The first thing, if today was that day, they'd be like, yeah, Chris Finch got to go. Chris Finch got to go. That's the difference.
Truth.
That is the difference.
Truth.
They'd be like, why can this coach not get them to the finals? They made trades to get better players.
True.
They got rid of Cat. Now it must be the coach's fault.
Never mind they ran into the Heat, or in this case, the Thunder, who are stacked. Like, the Pacers don't want that smoke either.
Oh no, I think it's Oklahoma City all the way.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see how they was locking them up yesterday? That was insane.
I know everybody talks about their offense.
Like, never mind
they score 120, but their defense is outrageously good.
I think the best part was every time I looked up, if I looked away, I looked back, deflection. They headed the other way.
Yep.
Deflection. They headed the
another steal. You just hear my, like, dang, they got him again.
I know. I should look up points off turnovers right now just for kicks. I know we want to talk to you about other Bears thoughts, but, you know, we're on a heater right now.
Well, no, but
and it's the NBA playoffs. Like, this is what we do, you know? Like, we love talking about NBA on this show specifically. I feel like that's one of the things.
And you love NBA, and you love the style of play in today's NBA with the threes going up and down. Is that a bad callback I just did?
Amazing. That was pretty good.
No, listen. The Bulls are far away. That's what I learned yesterday.
Yes, they are not close.
Every time I look up, I'm reminded that the Bulls are indeed far away. And I'm looking at the points off turnovers if you haven't gotten to
less,
it yet.
Yeah, so. Less than I thought it was going to be for the T-Wolves.
Really?
19.
How many times did they turn them over?
They turned them over 19 times.
Okay.
So that's why.
So it was only 18.
Oh, it was 18. Yeah,
it's 18 points off
turnovers. Conceded. They do it a little differently on this one. But yeah, I mean, that was it. They turned them over 21 times.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to probably come up when they play Indiana. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
But maybe Tyrese will have another game like the last one he had, where he's like, I don't turn the ball over. I get triple-doubles without turnovers.
That was insane.
Yeah, he can be really efficient. When he's on his game, he can be really, really efficient, not turn the ball over. He can get 25 points on, you know, 12, 13 shots, and it's like, he's just really efficient.
And he'll still have 15 to 20 assists,
because
that's what he does.
Yep.
Okay, so getting back to a couple points at House Hall, even though I love talking hoops with you both, I want to know what you thought about what Case Keenum had to say, because we understand that he was also practicing with the twos, and I think that that's an important detail here, especially when we talk about the guy being 37 and he nearly hung it up, and this was not him hanging it up.
Nah, I think that, first of all, he's just a really, really good addition to the team and to that particular room. The Bears did not have a veteran quarterback last year, which I think was a bit of an oversight. I don't care how much you like Tyson Bagent. I like Tyson Bagent too, but when you're talking about onboarding a rookie quarterback to be your franchise superstar, you need someone to kind of hold his hand and walk him through what it looks like to be in the position that he's in. And Tyson knows no more about that than Caleb does. And so I think not having a vet was an oversight last year, but I think they brought in a great guy for that spot this year. I think Case Keenum understands his role in this team. He's going to be a good sounding board for Caleb, not only during the week, but when he comes off the field on game day. Hey, this is what I saw. This is what was going on. This is what coach is saying to you, right? Because coaches say things a certain way, and then somebody's going kind of translate it for you a different way, and it'll hit different. So I think he's going to be really, really beneficial to this team. I think he also is a competitor, and he said, listen, they didn't promise me the number two job or anything like that, but I'm going to compete for it, right? And I think Tyson's a great competitor too, and we'll see how that ultimately evolves. But I think just having him around is going to be really, really beneficial, one, to Caleb, but two, to the total team. It's a guy who's been there before. He's won some big games. He's been in some big moments. I believe in him if he has to go in there and play.
I like specifically the fact that he just worked with C.J. Stroud and knows what a young quarterback needs. C.J. Stroud in year two, now you've got Caleb Williams in year two, and let's just say Caleb Williams was not afforded what C.J. Stroud was allowed to do as a rookie quarterback. So now we're kind of making up for it. And also the cheat code piece of this is the fact that he can be with Caleb and Tyson if you want and do things that the coaching staff can't because of NFL limitations as far as the rules go for the offseason programs.
I was what I was referencing earlier that blew my mind the most out of everything in the press conference yesterday. Case Keenum said that when he came into the league, having played in that prolific air raid offense in Houston, where he put up astronomical numbers, said he came into the league and he did not know, amongst other things, he said, rookies don't know what they don't know. He said, I didn't even know that you could run one play on one side of the field, go to the other side of the field, and flip and run the same play. I said, what?
That sounds insane.
No, I...
What? I think Adam Hogg was sitting next to me. And I looked at him, and I said, and he's looking back at me, he's like, did he just, wait, what? Like, because it's, you get to the league, and you don't know that if you go on the left hash, you can run trips right, and then you can go to the right hash, run trips left, and run the exact same play. You didn't know that?
I was because they don't have the talent at that level. Like, even on those teams he had, I really appreciated him saying that.
I appreciate him saying that, too. I think it's extremely impressive that he's sustained the career that he has, having started from that big a deficit. That is a huge deficit to come into the league from, not even knowing, like, we could just flip this play and run it the other way. It's no problem.
And he threw for the most passing yards at the time in NCAA history. Like, that's what makes it so crazy.
Seriously.
So we have Herb Howard in studio with us here on Raheemy and Harris.
I'm gonna get an autograph before I leave too. I just want you two famous singers to know that.
Yeah, you're crazy for that. He's the Bears beat reporter for the Bigs Media. We're talking Bears amongst other things as well, and I just looking overall as far as the other people that you heard from yesterday, was there any comment that stood out that was as eye-opening as maybe that Case Keenum one was?
No, I think just the consistency of Coach's message. That's really starting to hit home to me. This isn't Coach speak. He's not putting on. This is who he is, and he seems to be the same way on the field as he is at the podium. The things he's saying at the podium, you're seeing them on the field, and I think that consistency is starting to hit home with me, so I know it has to be starting to hit home with the players. Like, this is just who this guy is. So this idea that he's going to turn and change, we better just get used to who he is, and I think that is really, really important. You don't see a lot of messages changing. I think that's really, really important. And then I was just impressed once again by how Caleb handled himself under pressure, right? I mean, he didn't want to answer none of that stuff. He didn't want to deal with it. Doesn't really matter a ton at this point. But he stood in front of it and he dealt with it. Maybe a week late, but he stood in front of it. He gave good answers. He gave detailed answers. And hopefully, you know, he's able to move on from it. So I was just impressed by Coach and QB1.
Are you under the impression that it was his decision to speak, or that the Bears were going to have him speak, or the Bears told him don't speak just yet? Because he did mention Ted Cruz by name in terms of how they strategized addressing this.
I'm sure they did a lot of work on how they wanted to go out and address it. And I'm sure they probably did some mock press conferences and assume some of the questions. I don't know whose decision it was for him not to have spoke. What's today? Today's the 29th, 28th. So why didn't he speak on the 21st, right? Which is when I would have had him get out there and dress it and move on. I don't know whose decision that was. Bears, Caleb, I don't know. I just think it was a bad decision. It's not terrible, but just get out in front of it and get it done. The kid is good at this thing. Prep him, send him out there, have a 10-minute press conference, and move on.
Yeah, and that's it. To me, it was every day that it gets closer to the season, it becomes more of an issue because it's taken away from what you're trying to do.
His teammates are answering this question. Last Wednesday when he didn't speak, Coach Johnson spoke, Grady Jarrett spoke, and I think Joe Tooney spoke. Neither of them were on the team last year. They all got questions about what Caleb said about whether or not he wanted to be on last year's team or a part of this franchise. It's like, I don't know. I didn't even know Shorty. Like, I don't know. Like, so
you didn't even go here.
Yeah, it's like I have no idea, but those are the types of distractions that you can just bury real fast.
Herb, you know, you've given us an appropriate amount of guff for singing the seventh inning stretch. And I joked about how we had the mic in front of 40,000 people and I should have been like, and extend Kyle Tucker, something crazy, you know, like whatever sports thought that you need to communicate to the most people at once.
Sure.
Do you have one of those? And if so, what would it be?
I don't know. Like I have no idea. Could I yell down the red line to the White Sox? And I'm a huge Cubs fan. It's go Cubs, go for me all day. But I'm from the South Side. I just want to.
I'm gonna say you got a Sox hat on right now.
Yeah, because I'm still a Chicagoan and I'm born and raised on the South Side, so I can rock a Sox hat. But I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. But I still would yell down the red line, just like sell the team, bro. Like this is.
Wow.
This is foolishness.
To Jerry?
Yes, this is foolishness. Nobody wants to deal with this anymore. Just megaphone straight down the red line
and
to 35th.
That's not even your team. And you're
it's
like,
not even my team.
And sell the White Sox.
But I would like to go to a game. I don't go. And nobody goes. It's like you get a free White Sox ticket with a Whopper at Burger King. Like it's ridiculous, man.
But you can't have that your way right away.
You cannot.
I would like to have a win.
It would be.
Are you
nice.
Kidding? I'm ready to get rid of. I'm ready to say Andrew Benintendi's value on the trade market after yesterday.
My goodness, it's ridiculous. It really is.
It's just the time. It was the time for a ridiculous hot take. Come on now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who is calling on our score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who's calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
When you hear it uttered, as in from the article, from the upcoming book, that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. Like, from a distance, did you see that? And what do you think when you hear that?
I love it. I love it. I love the opportunity to come on in and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written. And so we're looking to write a new chapter here, 2025 Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the future.
He said the right things. He said the right things when Mark Grody used that phrase, quarterbacks go to die. It's so dark and disturbing. This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score. Rami Makhlouf is in for Marshall Harris today. And I know that this has caused a lot of consternation. It was something that on our group thread was discussed because Grody and Dan Wiederer, in preparing for the Take the North podcast, were essentially girding their loins as to the reaction that they were going to get. And it has drummed up a lot of anger from fans talking about to us, why are we discussing this? You know, why are we mad that Caleb Williams hasn't spoken yet?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bigger issue is not perhaps in the fact that this is a polarizing topic, but that we're frustrated because we want to hear from the quarterback whose father spoke to an author, an
right.
embedded author.
Right.
This was not gotcha journalism. This is a book he is working on about how the best quarterback prospect that we have seen and who has entered these halls doesn't want to be here and how that's going to manifest. And until we have proof that it's not going to be 68 sacks like it was last year, and until we have proof that this is going to work, this is something where I'm still asking, how much of you not wanting to be here, even though you are, being responsible, is going to show up in games? And I want to hear that from him. I also think that if he speaks about this, then he can move on.
Right.
Then we can all move on. And that's why it's important to me. The hard part has been the backlash that I think you've gotten, Rami, I've gotten, we've gotten as a station, Grody as well, about people mad that we're pointing it out. And what stuck with me last week was a texter saying, this is supposed to be a positive time for the Bears. Yes. And I'm supposed to be $1 million richer and a couple inches taller and 15 pounds lighter.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is the reality. And what I realized was it's the frustration of having this conversation for so long that is festering. That the danger of it being wrong again is what is upsetting so many people.
Yeah.
Like it's a yucking of the yum when it comes to this is right now where we have hope. They did the right things. They answered with the head coach. They answered with changing their person. Aaron Rodgers mocked it, but he also has a point.
Right.
Until we see it on the field and until we hear from the man himself, not his parents, this is still an issue. And unfortunately, it's still going to be an issue. If there's a bad game, don't act like you're not going to think about it.
Right.
Would it be better with somebody who really wanted to be here? And that's a concern I'm going to have.
Right. And that's the story. And we didn't create this story. We didn't just pull this out of thin air. It's not like, oh, slow time of year. Let's rehash that story of Caleb Williams not wanting to. Remember that leading up to the draft? You know what I mean? We're not just pulling it up just to pull it up and have something to talk about. Like you said, his dad talked to an author, voluntarily went and sat down and talked with an author and dished this dirt about the Chicago Bears and how they felt or what their perception was of this organization leading up to the draft. That's a story. And I said yesterday when I was filling in for you guys, I would love to just like turtle shell this. You know what I mean? And just like an ostrich, just stick my head in the sand and pretend that there's nothing to this and everything is great. And the Bears certainly got it right this time around. Right. Yeah. I would love to be that naive and to just think that way or believe that. But that's a story, man. And the longer that Caleb Williams doesn't address it, the longer it's a story, the longer people can't go. Because I keep making this clarification, Layla, these are comments and quotes from Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' dad. Even those that seem to be attributed to Caleb Williams, those are secondhand. That's Caleb Williams or Carl Williams saying, Caleb told me this. I don't know that any of those are direct quotes in that Seth Wickersham story that we saw from Caleb Williams. So I'd like to hear him asked how much of that is accurate. Is that how you felt? What did they do to make you feel better about the situation? How bought in are you now? You know, these are all questions that I think. If you're a Bears fan who wants this to be right, doesn't just want to believe that it's right, no matter what might be out there, those are questions you want answered.
I'm sorry. It's just not as simple as he's here, so it's okay.
Exactly. Yes.
Like, if you read that story, read the story. It talks about the efforts to get around the CBA, the efforts to go to the UFL, the concept of the quarterback that we want to exalt for the first time or most since Sid Luckman wants to nuke this city. I'm 100% asking the individual. Like, that's just outrageous. Like, so I think it's really funny that there's been such pushback from fans about us wanting accountability out of really incendiary statements. It is not as simple as just because he's here, he wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the details, it sounds like this was the only option. And when you consider that the contract wasn't signed until late July, unless he wanted to go back to college, and when the response from the GM is, we're drafting him and that's all there is to it. We're drafting him no matter what. None of that to me says it's okay.
Yeah, because the part about him going to his dad and saying, I think I can do it there, and I want to go to Chicago and do it there. I don't know if that's his dad's way of thinking he's cleaning up the mess that he's creating after all the incendiary stuff that Caleb came to this conclusion that he wanted to come to Chicago and thought he could get it done here. I don't know if that conversation actually happened or if Caleb was sort of strong-armed into coming here and that was Carl Williams putting a good face on it. No, we had these reservations, but they did everything they could to put them to rest.
And then the words that are being put in our mouths, like 630 on the text line, sort of insulting, you're suggesting he's not trying. That's not what we said.
I didn't say that.
Like I or for example, oh, you're going to start losing listeners. Well, y'all tell us that all the time. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to question authority. I'm still going to question what's happening right now. And it's not necessarily that someone wants to be here and they're going to suck it up and everything's going to be okay. It's that, does this prevent you from being the best version of you because you don't want to be here?
Right.
And then does that prevent you from being the best version of you on this team and helping it succeed? And when we talk about the difference of one score games being your difference makers in the NFL, like the devil is in the details here. And that's what makes this so scary. And the fact that he needs to address this. This is a planned thing. This was a planned book.
Right. Yeah, this isn't...
He wanted to nuke this city and that was an option and you guys are cool with it? Because he's here? He had 68 sacks last year. We have... I would love to say, this is all proven on the football field. Ben Johnson is here. He says, I love it. You still need your quarterback to speak for himself.
Yeah. And the longer he doesn't, the more this story has legs. The more that he doesn't answer the questions people have, put some of this stuff to rest, say what folks want to hear, you know, in terms of his buy-in and desire to be a Chicago Bear despite that story, I think it still has legs and leads people to continue to speculate. And that's not just for the sake of speculating or for drumming up controversy. It's because you have questions. You know, I think it's natural to have questions when a story like that comes out that you want answered. And not just as a media member, but as a fan, as just somebody who's curious about a situation like that. You have questions. And the longer those questions just float out there in the ether, the longer this stays a story on some level.
Well, like 2-7 here. So y'all are wanting Caleb to answer something his dad said. Yes, that's how this works. Yes. Were there any direct quotes from Caleb that you're responding to? No, but his dad was speaking on his behalf. And then you're trying to bring content 2 weeks later. Layla, spelling, you spelled it wrong. Chill out. If you don't have direct quotes from Caleb, you're trying to drum up content for your show. No, we're not saying that. The quarterback is going to speak regardless. The longer he doesn't speak, the more this looks like this. And no, 312, we're not the only two who care. I just explained to you that we heard from Mark Grody and from Dan Weeder about how they care. And that's the point here, is that I think there's such anger toward the concept of any of this failing that it's causing people to either put words in our mouths, for example, yours and mine, Rami. Anybody who talks about it, like there's a very kill the messenger aspect of this.
Yes.
When this can all be solved by asking the individual himself, and the fact that it's still being ducked is an issue to me. I know we have a call right now. I'm okay with taking it. Oh, apparently we have to get to a break. All right. So we have a call, 312-644-6767. I will get to that next. And we also do want to hear from you, not just on the text and angry text. I think people need to actually speak about
this. A lot of caps in the text.
I know. And 847, they were apprehensive for reasons that don't exist anymore.
Do we know that?
We don't know that. We only have a season that just happened. We don't have a mythical season that's not happened yet.
Yeah, we have things that we think are good. We don't know that they're good. In terms of the coach, the offensive line that they put in front of, we don't know that yet.
708, sports media created controversy. This is an author they invited to hang out with them during this process. They did this.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com.
and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.